Let us now turn to the scriptures for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of Luke and the 13th chapter. I read from the verse 23 through to the verse 30. This is the word of God. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord bless that public reading of his precious, infallible, and sacred word. May he do so to the glory of his name and to the good of our never dying souls. Turning now in the word of God to the words which I read to you in your hearing just a moment ago, the young adults turning your prayerful attention once again to those words which we read from the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 13. I draw your attention to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the verse 24, but reading before that, the verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. These words are not to be confused with the words that we find in the Gospel of Matthew and the 7th chapter and the verse 13. Enter in ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in thereat. I say that because those words were spoken on a different occasion. Those words were spoken while the Lord Jesus Christ was there with his disciples, and albeit they may well have been unsaved people with him in the midst. But these words here are spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ just before he would go to the cross and he would bear the awful punishment of the wrath of God on account of the sins of those whom he would bear. Our sins, says the Bible, were laid upon him, our iniquities. So these words really come amidst a crowd that he has been addressing. He has just given a parable of the fig tree. He has told people earlier on in the chapter, unless they repent, they shall all likewise perish. He has been addressing many people who have heard of his wondrous miracles, signs and wonders, even some of them, seen his miracles. And yet so many did not repent and believe upon him. And it seems that a man comes, we are not given his name, we're not given any of that. For some unknown reason, this unknown individual speaks out of a crowd from motives which are undescribed, and he asks a question to do with the relative number of those who will be saved. Now, was he speaking about people in his day? How many in our day will be saved? How many of our generation, or perhaps in general, out of all mankind, how many will be saved? And you notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't answer the question at all. But he says to the man, strive to enter in the strait gate. Now this evening I want to address both the saved and the unsaved. As I mentioned earlier on, the passage in Matthew chapter 7 is a different occasion, similar words, and we'll turn to that in the second part of the sermon as I address those of you who are saved. In this year, 2019, this year, you have entered into that narrow gate. You have gone through, you're in the narrow way, as we turn there to Matthew chapter 7, there is an exhortation for you, for that narrow road, as we embark upon this life of ours in this year 2019. And those of you who are unsaved, who have not gone through this narrow gate, who have not strove, who have not gone through, there's an exhortation to you. And so, we notice in the verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And I mentioned that the Lord Jesus doesn't answer his question. He doesn't give in and play to the tune of the man's curiosity. And many people are like that, those who are unsaved. And it's very clear that this man has not entered in. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus would not have said to him, strive ye to enter in. So it's clear that this man has not entered in, but the curiosity so often of the unsaved is such. Will there be many people that will be in God's kingdom? People sadly are not concerned about their own soul. They want to know, is God just? Is he righteous? Is he going to save many people? Think back in the days of Noah. Could you imagine somebody asking Noah? Not that Noah would have the answer, of course. Noah, will there be many that will be saved? Just as well, Noah didn't know the answer. He preached for some 120 years. How many people were saved? Eight people. You see, the issue is, it's not how many are going to be saved. It's whether we will be saved, or whether we are saved. And the Lord Jesus knows every man, whether he or she, boy or girl, he knows whether they're saved or not. Here tonight, he knows every heart. And his exhortation to an unsaved person was, strive to enter in the narrow gate. And you can even go back to the words in Matthew chapter 7. Why? Because broad or wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's the way of most people in this world. They're in a broad road of live your own life, live your own kind of religion, but they have not strove. They have not strived to enter that narrow gate, and they're not in the narrow way. And I want to exhort us all, as the Lord Jesus exhorts this unsaved man here, to strive to enter in at the strait gate. And the reason he gives is, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. There is coming a time, young people, when you will not be able to enter in. The Word of God says to us, today, while it is called today, today is the day of salvation, for tomorrow is not given to us. There's no guarantee upon tomorrow. Today. Now, sadly, There is a kind of a false teaching that has permeated for so long now that only tells half the truth about conversion, about what it is to be saved. We would agree with what they have to say up to a point. We would all agree that God makes his people willing in the day of his power. We would agree with that, with the words of the Psalm 110 and the verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth." And so when somebody is born again, they're made willing. It is a truth. God does make people willing in the day of his power. But in the day of his power, there is a striving in the heart of those that are seeking after God. For the Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near." There is a kind of a teaching saying something like this: well, just sit back and wait and God will save you. Now that is true. We believe God saves. We believe he saves by the means, by the appointed means, that is through preaching. The Word of God tells us that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We believe that because that's what the Word of God says. But there is a striving. Now if you look at these words with me, the words of our Lord Jesus, I want to help you to understand them and to impress them upon your hearts if you're unsaved. Now, of course, the Lord will save all of his people. But there is a striving. There is a striving. The Lord Jesus would not tell this man to strive in vain, would he? He wouldn't lead him down a road that is a dead-end road, would he? Our Lord Jesus is no deceiver. He's no cheat. And so we read, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." This man comes asking, "Are there many going to be saved?" And he says, "You, sir, strive." Now the word here is the word agonizomai. Strive. It's where we get the word agonize. He says, agonize to get in. Strive, agonize, exert yourself, exert all the forces, muster up all that's in you to enter in at the narrow gate. Strive. Well, he's using a metaphor here. He's pointing to a sort of a very narrow, you can imagine maybe one of those farm gates, those turnstile gates that you've got to get in. You've got to take your rucksack off and you can't take things in with you. You can only go through one at a time. You can't take your friends with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take any baggage with you. Strive. It's a narrow, it's a constricted gate. And he says you must agonize. In other words, if any man, and it's in the context, isn't it? Will there be many that will be saved? The context is being saved. He's saying, if you would be saved, it requires this, the exertion, the agonizing exertion. That's the figure that is employed. And this narrow gate leads into the way that ushers into eternal life. It leads to a narrow way. The Christian way, the path of obedience to God. And let me say, once you pass through that narrow way, or that narrow gate, should I say, it is a narrow way. It's a difficult path as a Christian, but it leads to life. Now, what am I saying, and what is the Lord Jesus saying? Is he saying that we have to earn salvation? Not at all. Well, think what he is just about to do. If he was saying, well, you need to do this in order to be saved, what's the point of him going to the cross? He is going to be going to the cross in just a short while now. He's going to die for sinners. But sinners have to die to the world. They have to die to themselves. And they have to live to him. They have to strive to enter in. If they are to enter in, if they are to have this salvation. Now, one thing God never does tell us before we're saved, and that's this, whether his Spirit is at work in us. He never tells us that. He never gives us that information. But he says to men, you must strive. You must strive. And let me say this, every one of Christ's people will make it through that gate. He makes them willing in the day of his power. They will come, but yes, they must strive. Now, when the Apostle Paul, he describes the preaching of the word, he describes it in the same way. He uses the same word. He says, warning every man. He speaks there in Colossians. We preach the word. And as the word is preached and every man receives the word, it is an agonizing task for the preacher. He says, preaching the word, and then he says, striving with every man. It's the same word, agonizomai. And when we preach the word, because we have before us, and I have before me, the never-dying souls of individuals, young men and young ladies before me, I must be in earnest. And people today are perplexed when the preacher is weighted down with the message that God has given him. But shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we be in agony? Because this is such an important thing. This is the message that God has given us, and we are to preach the word of God to you, to agonize with you. Now, the Lord is saying here, what is he saying when he says agonize? Well, let me say what he's not saying. He's definitely not saying do nothing. Just go along to church. Yes, we must use the means of grace. We must keep hearing the word of God. But it doesn't mean just go along with the crowd. It doesn't mean that at all. He says, strive to enter in. Don't think that that means wait on the Lord for him to somehow float you over the narrow gate. Nobody ever gets into the kingdom of God by being floated over the narrow gate. I think some people believe that. The devil would have you believe that. That you'd have to do nothing. And he's called a murderer from the beginning. He would want you to believe that there's nothing. Yes, God will save you, and he will. But the Lord, the Son of God, God the Son, who is going to the cross, says to this man, you must exert yourself. You must agonize over this. It doesn't mean do nothing. The devil wants you to believe that. You may say, well, God will give me a new heart when he's good and ready. Well, let me just tell you something. This heart that he gives agonizes as it passes through. And let me say this. When the Lord saves you, your heart continues to agonize because of what we call remaining sin. The Apostle Paul was a saved man, and there were times he went to do the things of God, and he found that he couldn't. And he said this, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, oh, wretched man As a saved man, that's what he said. And there are times we go as Christians, as saved people, who have gone through this gate of experience of knowing our sins forgiven. And there are times we agonize because we agonize against our own flesh. And this is the agony that we are talking about here. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And everyone who comes to know the Lord has to agonize before God in prayer, in repentance. We have to agonize with coming to terms of who we are. We have to agonize with the truth. The truth's not always easy to hear. But there's nothing good in us. Really many people that do not agonize with this. Now, they agonize with hearing the truth, but there's no willingness in them. That's not the kind of agony I'm talking about. The fact that you can't wait till the sermon is over. You can't wait. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this agony of soul, feeling the pull of the world, feeling the pull of unsaved friends, feeling all kinds of pull, and yet desiring to be saved. There's a difference. Oh yes, there may be desires for the world, but by and large, the greater desire is to know God and to know peace in your heart, and yet you feel the pull. And so the Lord says, yes, if a man will be saved, he must agonize. The Bible never says, wait until you're floating through the narrow door. It says, strive, agonize, marshal all your faculties till you know that you're through. The Word of God says through the prophets, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. The Lord has commanded his people to agonize, and they will agonize. And that means that you're not going to fritter away your time. As you agonize, as you're convicted of your sin, you have come under sermon after sermon. You know the Word of God. You know that you're a sinner. And I'm addressing those here tonight that are perhaps under conviction of sin. And the Lord has been speaking to you of late. So what are you going to do? Well, the Lord says, agonize. If a man is to be saved, he is to agonize. And that means you're not going to fritter away your time watching rubbish on television. But it means that you're going to read your Bible. You're going to pray and you're going to seek the Lord. You're going to repent with all of your heart until you really feel like you're repenting. Until you really feel that you're agonizing. Until you know that you have forgiveness of your sins. That's the agony. And you're looking at somebody who did that for a good while, until he came to know the Lord. It's a real agony of soul, because the world is against you. The devil is definitely against you. And everything within you, the flesh and the world, is vying for your attention. And so what is there? There is an agonizing. Now, if God is doing a work in you, you will get through. But you must agonize and agonize, although everything within you is fighting against it, but there is this desire. You have no peace. Maybe you're unrested. And maybe that's part of the agony. You have sleepless nights. Your friends have been converted. Perhaps your siblings. Perhaps other people have been saved. And yet you've got this agony. Every time you come to a gospel sermon like this, again, you're haunted with this truth. You're not saved. The summer has passed, the winter is gone, and you're not saved. Another year. We come into this year, 2019, you're not saved. But again, have you been agonizing? Have you been seeking the Lord? Well, let me say this, that while God's people are going to agonize before coming in, and some perhaps have slightly different experiences of their salvation, let me say this, every one of those who are to be saved ask for forgiveness and they seek the Lord. There is that repenting. And although the Lord Jesus is precious to them, they truly have to press into the kingdom. We read in Matthew 11, 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The idea is there that those who are being saved, there is exertion. There is an agonizing. They want it. They're striving for it. But they're having to put off. They press in, we read elsewhere, to the kingdom. And to press in means there's an exertion taking place. You can imagine, again, one of those old-fashioned, or maybe even on some of the farms today, those old turnstile gates. And literally, you've got to take all your baggage off to get through. And so it is. You can't take your pride. You can't take fashion with you. You can't take your friends with you. You can't take worldly desires with you. You have to leave, as it were, the world behind. The Lord Jesus said, if a man will come after me, he must deny himself. And that's the idea. If we are to be the Lord's, he wants our heart. He wants our life. And there is that process where we begin to repent. And to repent means to have a change of mind, to have a change of heart. But it is indeed an agonizing process. And let me say this, the whole of the Christian life, that process continues to go on. It does get easier. Thank the Lord, by His grace, it does get easier. And the longer we're saved, the more we find help from the Lord, because the more we turn to Him. And so, dear friends, young people, I warn you, there's a reason here that we are to agonize, because, as He says here, there is coming a day when souls will not be able to enter in. Notice with me, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able, when once the master of the house is risen up, and this has to do with his coming, and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence and hast taught in our streets. You see, many of these people were amongst God's people and they thought they were in the kingdom. They thought they were saved. And maybe you're here tonight and you think, well, I am a Christian. Well, how do you know whether you're a Christian? Well, if you're a Christian, you'll know, first of all, that you've agonized. You've agonized to God in prayer. You've repented of your sins. You've had to relinquish things of this world. You've had to deny yourself. You've had to follow his way. There are many here that are in the religious setting, and they say, well, we've eaten and we've drunk in thy presence. We were in God's people's presence. Don't think that because simply you go along to church that you are a converted young man or a converted young woman. Let me tell you, when you begin to agonize in prayer to God and you begin to seek him with all your heart, there comes a time when he gives you relief and you know you're through. It's just like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. Remember how he had to flee from the city of destruction. How he had to put his fingers in his ears. And he had to run and cry, life, life, eternal life. And it took him a long while until that burden rolled off his back. It was when he went to Calvary, as it were, and he saw in his mind's eye the Lord Jesus had bore his sin. And let me tell you, the Bible does tell us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When we truly seek the Lord, he gives us a peace in our hearts. There comes a time when we know these truths and we feel and we know to be forgiven. But there will be times that we still feel we're great sinners and we may doubt. But then again, the Lord comes again and he encourages us and assures us as we repent of our sins that we are indeed forgiven. And that is the ongoing proof that we are Christians, that we have peace in our hearts, that we have entered in through that narrow gate. Now I ask you that question as we embark upon this year. Do you have that peace in your heart? Oh, you'll know when you're through. You'll know when you've become a child of God. And others will know too, because you'll tell others and you'll share your testimony. That's when you know you're through. But it's not over then, is it? And so this is my latter exhortation now, secondly, to those who have entered in. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 3, I take you to that time where the Lord Jesus began to give that Sermon on the Mount. And he addresses his disciples. They saved people. Matthew 5:3, he began saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. You see, these are the qualities, these are the characteristics of those who are saved. They poor in spirit. They are meek, they mourn. What do they mourn? They mourn over their sin. That's what they chiefly mourn over. They meek. He says, these are blessed. And verse 6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's one of the reasons why you know you're saved. You no longer love your sin, but you hunger and you thirst to be more like the Lord Jesus. And so on. And so as we look at this, he begins by showing his disciples, as he begins the Sermon on the Mount, how they are different to those who professed to be the Lord's people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious hypocrites of their day. And what he does in the Sermon on the Mount is he goes through commandment after commandment that they broke. They lived very superficially to the law. And those who are on the narrow way don't live superficially to the law. In other words, they want to obey God. And so as I'm addressing those who are in this narrow way now, this is a narrow way. Your desire is to please God. And so what he does is he goes through all of the commandments Nearly all of them of the Ten Commandments. He goes through murder, adultery, theft, what true kindness and what true love is like. And he tells them that he has not come to abolish the law, but he has come to fulfill the law. And he says in the verse 20 of Matthew 5, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness," and he's speaking here to his disciples, "shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, what is the Lord Jesus Christ saying? Is he saying, look, you have to reach a certain standard in order to be saved? No, he's not saying that. But what he is saying is, all my people are different. The Pharisees lived to a mere superficial way of living to the law. The Bible says, without holiness, listen, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's a narrow road. Do you hear what I'm saying, those of you who are saved? I am not saying you're saved because you walk the narrow road. But what I am saying is this, as the Lord Jesus says, except your righteousness. He's not saying my imputed righteousness to you, but he's saying you as an individual. How do you know whether you're a Christian? You have a different life to the Pharisees. Your religion is true. You care about how you serve God and how you serve fellow men. You have a real interest and a love to God. Your religion is true. Paul warns us, as I said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. If the grace of God is in us, and if we're saved, we've got to look diligently. Those of you who are converted, you say you've gone through the narrow gate. Make sure this year, it's my exhortation to you, as Paul speaks, look diligently, lest you fail the grace of God. Lest, what he's saying is, lest that grace is not in you. Let's not be self-deceived. If the grace of God is in us, what we will do, hear me, we'll ask for more grace. Every day of our lives, we'll ask for more grace. There are times we'll say, what a wretched Christian I am. But don't despair. Be as the Apostle Paul. Look to the Lord Jesus. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Our help is in the Lord. And let me say, the Christian life is just that. It begins by striving, agonizing, and it doesn't stop. It's a constant fight, but it's a good fight. And at times it does get easier. The Lord helps us, strengthens us. We use the means of grace that God gives us. Keep up your godly Christian friendships. Keep up your Bible reading. Continue to go to church. Continue, get yourself involved as much as you can in your church. Help others. That's another way you can grow. Do good to others. Serve in the body of Christ. Be useful. That's the Christian life. You see, because we've got to keep moving forward. The Christian life is just that, moving forward, pressing on, fighting the good fight of faith every day. And you know, we always make a happy discovery. If God has given us a faith, That faith begins by striving. Not striving against, but striving to enter in. Now, where is your heart tonight? Are you striving against everything that I've been saying? When he says agonize, what does it mean? Well, go before God. Have dealings with him. Don't wait. The Bible never tells you to wait for salvation. Yes, there are times when we must wait for the Lord to show us something, but we have to seek him. We must seek him now, because there's coming a day when we will not seek him, and we will not be able to seek him. We will not be able to find him. Joseph Hart, in his one hymn, says, "Wide is the gate of death. The way is large and broad, and many enter therein at and walk that beaten road. Because the gate of life is narrow, low, and small, the path so pressed, so close, so straight, there seems no path at all," he says. "This way that's found by few, 10,000 snares beset, to turn the seeker's steps aside and trap the traveler's feet. Before we've journeyed far, two dangerous gulfs are fixed, death, sloth, and Pharisaic pride, scarce a hair's breadth betwixt." We've got to watch for that. There's all kinds of snares. When you're saved, pride. The Bible tells us to take heed lest we fall. Young people, if we're saved, what are we doing to take heed? Are we looking out for each other? Are we encouraging? Are we exhorting one another? Are we listening to our pastors, those who the Lord has put over us? Narrow is the way, but it leads to the Lord. That's the blessed thing. And what we will find if we've entered into that narrow gate and that narrow way is that the one who went to the cross really did take our sins and will take us to eternal life. You know, we only know if we're in the way. If we have truly come to the Lord, repented of our sins, and he has given us assurance of that, and we're going on. Don't trust in your baptism, please. Don't trust in that. That doesn't save you. Don't trust in anything else but to know that you have gone through this gate of repentance toward God, and faith in our Lord Jesus. Then you will have peace, and God will help you all the way. Some young people, you're worried about the narrow way. Don't worry about the way. If you've gone through the gate, he'll help you all the way, and in every way. Well, may the Lord encourage you and bless your dear hearts this year. Seek him while he may be found. Amen. Let us close with hymn 323. This hymn itself, you notice, speaks about the narrow way in the verse 1. "Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. The Lord Jesus said, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein at, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it." And in our closing text, strive to enter in. at the straight gate. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we would pray that there would be indeed, even this night, a striving to enter in, having heard thy word. We know, Lord, that thou wilt give power, and thou wilt give grace. O Lord, we pray, grant to these dear young people everything that they need this coming year. Bless, Lord, those that are saved. Heavenly Father, we pray that they may keep to that narrow way, and may they know more and more the love of our dear Lord and Savior to them. May they know every blessing. We pray that we may hear of others coming and having entered in that straight gate, having sought the Lord with all their heart, having strived. Heavenly Father, we pray, be at work, we ask, in such hearts, we pray. Pardon us of our many sins. Grant us thy blessing tonight as we go to our homes and take our rest. But may we have no rest till we rest in the Savior, knowing that we have entered in, and should he come for us, we shall not hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." O Lord, so bless us this night and grant us traveling mercy. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.